Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're learning to see ourselves as God sees us.
The deepest questions within our soul are, does anyone really want me? And God says, I've selected you. Do I belong anywhere? God says, I've chosen you to be a part of my family. Does anyone really care about me? And God says, I love you. He's speaking about our identity, who God has called you to be.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and President of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. As we move forward with our new series called In His Image, Renewing Relationships, we'll be taking a look at the way we can alter our identities to transform our behavior and then ultimately our lives. By doing that, we transform the way other people see us, and Mark, it's really how they see Christ that's important.
Yeah, it really is. So much of our behavior is rooted, first of all, in how we see ourselves. In fact, I think our purpose emerges from our identity and our behavior flows from identity. Sometimes we try to change our behavior, but if we haven't quite changed how we see ourselves, then we typically revert back to our old behavior.
Well, I look forward to this message. It comes from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, so let's jump into it. This is the new me. Let's get started.
I don't know if you've ever been gone from a place for a while, a few years, and you come back and you re-encounter people that you haven't seen in a long time. And you've changed, but they haven't changed. And you see them, and they want to drag you back into the old you, who you were, and do the things you used to do. And you say, sorry, that's really not who I am anymore. That's the old me. This is the new me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you go to old high school reunion and see some people that are still the way they were in high school. How many of you are glad today you're not the same you were in high school? Yeah, how many of you like, I am not that person anymore. Not that person anymore. How many of you wish you still looked like you did in high school? No, okay. But you don't want to act the way you did in high school because that's the old you. You were still immature. You were doing things that now you look and say, how dumb could I have been? How immature was I? How in the world did I date that guy? What was I thinking? And now you've grown, you've matured, you've changed. You're not who you were. That's the old you. But this is a new you. The Apostle Paul is talking to the believers in Colossae. And he's trying to help them grasp their new identity. I want you to hear this. Behavior always flows out of identity. Who we are determines how we behave. Your identity will shape the way you talk, the way you walk, the way you interact. In fact, your identity helps determine your destiny. So who you are and how you perceive yourself is vital to how you behave. If we just try to change someone's behavior without changing their identity, that's called behavior modification. And typically that does not last very long. Because in order to have change that's permanent, we have to change the inside so that the outside reflects the inside. We can't just change the behavior on the outside, because if we haven't changed the inside, we'll go right back to who we were. You can take a pig and you can clean it up and put a bow on its head. But if you haven't changed the nature of a pig, as soon as that pig has a chance, and you could put Chanel, expensive Chanel on that pig. But if you have not changed the nature of a pig, as soon as that pig gets a chance, it'll go straight for the mud pit and roll around because it hasn't changed the inside. Oh, you've modified the outside, but you have not changed the identity of who that pig is. And so it is with us. Religion helps us modify the outside. Relationship with Jesus helps transform the inside, and the outside follows our inward transformation. Are you with me here today? Some of you had a long history of religion, but never really changed that much because your identity was not changed. What the Apostle Paul is saying is if you're going to really change and stay changed, you have to have a change of identity. And so I want to read to you Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3 out of the New International Version. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Word of the Lord. So if you're taking notes, I want you to prepare, because I want you to understand a couple of things about altering your identity that ultimately transforms your behavior. Number one, the new you comes with a radically different set of attitudes. Verse 12 says, "Therefore." Now, this is an interesting word, because anytime you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is it? Come on, you know that. Let me say it again. Anytime you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, you have to ask yourself, what is it? Therefore. Therefore means I'm building on a previous thought. Therefore means there's a thought that I've been given you, and I'm because you understand this thought, there's a consequence or an action to this thought. So the Apostle Paul, in the early part of this chapter, has just described what it means to, he said, you are hidden with Christ, you are raised with Christ, your old self is gone, your new self has come, take off the old, put on the new, you're dead to who you were, you're resurrected to a new self, no matter where you came from, what background you came from, you have to become a new person. This is who you are in Christ. Therefore, because you're a new person in Christ, therefore, he tells us now what our identity is. Now, I want you to see what he says to us about our identity. How you see yourself affects how you behave. If you see yourself today as a person of value and worth, you behave as a person of value and worth, and you expect that others treat you with value and worth. If you see yourself as someone with little value and little worth, you walked into this place with great insecurities, and you allow people to treat you like you have little value or worth because you see yourself that way. Some of you women have the natural proclivity to date men that treat you abusively, disregard you, treat you worse than how you should be treated, because you were raised in an environment in which you saw yourself as someone that didn't deserve much more. And so you accept that as normal behavior that someone trash talks you, insults you, abuses you, treats you with little respect, because that's how you see yourself. And you accept it and embrace it. In fact, take a woman who's been in an abusive relationship and sees herself with a low identity have her break out of that relationship, and chances are she'll end up with another guy that treats her the same way, because unless her identity changes, she'll be attracted to the same kind of relationship, someone who treats her lower than what God has called her to be. When she begins to see herself as a woman of God, a woman of dignity, a woman of worth, then she will expect to be treated that way from the man that she dates. Amen? When you see yourself the way God sees you, then you start embracing the behaviors that God has for you. He says, therefore, as God's, he tells us three things about our identity. As God's chosen or elected, as God's holy or set apart, and as God's dearly loved or highly valued. He says three things about you. He says you are chosen people. The word there is elected, chosen by God, selected for a purpose. Now, I know that some people will say, I found God last year, and I understand what you're saying, but technically, that's incorrect. You never found God. First of all, God was never lost. You were. God found you. You don't find God. You say, well, I reached out to God. Technically, maybe you think you reached out to God, but we are so what theologians call utterly depraved, so broken in our sinfulness that even in our depravity, we cannot reach out to God. It is God who has reached out to us, and you are merely responding to the grace and the reach out of God towards you. You didn't find God. You didn't choose God. God reached out to you and you responded to God. God elected you, chose you, selected you. He said, I want you. It's a powerful thing for the God of the universe to say, I choose you to be a part of my family and a part of my people.
Listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. For more tools and resources to help you transform your identity and the world around you, visit boldstepsradio.org. Now, coming up at the close of the program, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of Mark Sayer's book called The Road Trip That Changed the World. It's our Bold Step gift, and today is the last day to request a copy, so be sure to have pen and paper handy, and you can jot down the contact information later. But right now, let's dive into the second half of this message. Mark's going to describe the attitudes we should put on with our new identity.
Secondly, he says, not only are you God's chosen people, and by the way, in the early days, in the Old Testament, he referred to the people of Israel as his chosen people, as his select people. But in the New Testament, we are part of the covenant, so all those that are children of faith, believing in Jesus Christ, are called chosen people of God. So you are chosen. Secondly, he says you are holy. That word holy comes from the word sanctified. The word sanctified or holy means that you are set apart from the rest for a specific purpose. Now, I don't know if you view yourself as holy. In fact, do you realize that we get the word saint from sanctified or from holy? And that God has said about you that you are holy. You are sanctified. In fact, the book of Ephesians and a couple of the epistles refer to anybody that's a follower of Jesus as a saint. Come on now. I know you've barely ever done this. It's really weird to do this. It's hard. It's hard for you to embrace. But what is your name? Say it out loud. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put saint in front of your name. Go ahead, say it. Some of you are like, no, I can't do that. No, not me. Yeah, that's what the Bible says about you. That if you are holy, it means you are sanctified. And if you are sanctified, that means you are saint. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Saint means to be set apart unto the purposes of God. That you are holy unto God. You are not a part of the rest of society. You've been taken from the rest of the society and put apart, set apart for the purposes of God. That's what holy means. You may not see yourself as holy, but God sees you as holy. He sees you as chosen. He sees you as holy. And he sees you best of all, greatest of all. Listen to what he says. And you are dearly loved. That means the God of the universe, yeah, the God of the universe, the God that has always existed before time was, will always exist beyond time, the God that is omniscient and knows all things, the God that is omnipresent, means present everywhere all the time, the God that is omnipotent and has all power to transform and change lives and do miraculous things, the God that has control over all things, which means he's sovereign, this God of the universe knows you. He knows your name, and he selected you and set you aside. And not only does he know you, but he knows your flaws and your brokenness and your sins and your dysfunctions. And even in all of our mess, this God of the universe has said, I love you. In other words, you are highly cherished, highly valued. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. Now, what I'm saying is this speaks to our identity. Many people walk throughout earth trying to find out who they are. And the deepest questions within our soul are, does anyone really want me? And God says, I've selected you. Do I belong anywhere? God says, I've chosen you to be a part of my family. Do I have a purpose and a destiny? You are wholly set aside into my purpose and destiny. Am I valuable? Does anyone really care about me? And God says, I love you. You are highly cherished and valued by me. What's he speaking about? He's speaking about our identity, who you are, who God has made you, who God has called you to be. You see, the Apostle Paul is telling us, because we have a new identity, we need to understand how God sees us. Now, let me say this. Who you are and how you see yourself are two different things. Who you really are, spiritually, and how you see yourself are very different. When God looks at you, he looks at you through what Jesus has done for you, so he sees you as holy. You look at yourself and say, I'm full of sin, I'm a sinner. And God says, I see you holy. You look at yourself and maybe you've been through a few things in life, maybe a nasty divorce, and you look at yourself as rejected, but God looks at you as selected. See, who you are and how you see yourself is different than how God sees you. And what the Apostle Paul is trying to do is he's trying to match our identity, how we see ourselves, with how God really sees ourselves. And so he says, you are chosen, holy, and loved. And because you are this, now you need to start dressing the part of who you are. When someone becomes a policeman, they give him a uniform and say, now that you are officially out of the police academy, you dress in this uniform because this uniform symbolizes who you are. When someone graduates from boot camp in the military, now you're able to dress in a suit and uniform because now you are something that before boot camp you were not. When you have to dress the part of what you're called to do. If you're a crossing guard, you have to put on the outfit of a crossing guard so people can identify you as a crossing guard. When I completed my doctorate, I never really thought I would finish my doctorate. That was not necessarily an aspiration that I had. It just goes to show what God can do. I remember in grade school, I was in the special class. And when I say special, I don't mean advanced, super advanced genius class. I think that's what my mother made me think. I was in the remedial class in a couple courses. Like, hey, you're not up to snub. Let's help you improve in this a little bit. I had come from a different country. I had come from Spain and studied, so I, you know, spoke mainly Spanish, and I was in an English school, and so they said, yeah, you don't write really well, you spell really bad, let's put you in a remedial class. But when I finished my doctorate, they gave me an outfit that matches the doctorate, a flat hat and a sort of a robe that identifies a doctorate of theology. And I remember looking at that on me and said, that's weird to wear this because I don't see myself in this position. I don't see myself as Dr. Mark Job with a doctorate. It feels weird to wear it because as you're stepping into something that you're not used to, it feels strange to wear something that you have not been used to wearing. How about it? If you just got married, you put on a wedding ring, and does it feel strange to have a wedding ring on you? You've gone from being single to being married, and now you sign your name different, and you put a wedding ring on a finger that you didn't have a wedding ring on, and it takes a while for you to take on the mentality of a married person, even though officially you're married. Now you have to sign the paperwork different, file your taxes together, wear a ring that reminds you that you're married, and it takes a while to step into it. Well, many of us, as we come to God, we still have an old mindset, but God has called us to a new identity. And so the Apostle Paul says, now since you are selected, since you are loved, since you are holy, you have to start putting on attitudes that reflect who you are. And sometimes those attitudes will feel weird to you. You'll feel like, well, this doesn't feel normal to me to have this attitude. And he lists the attitude. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You say, Pastor, you've just described what I am not. You see, your new identity comes with new attitudes. And the word he says here is, he says, put on. This is, in the Greek, this is an action word. It's not a passive activity. In other words, it doesn't say stand there and it'll be put on you. It says put this on. In other words, these are attitudes that you're going to have to put on that may feel strange to you in the beginning, but they're attitudes that go with the new identity that you have. What are those attitudes? Well, there's several. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's five attitudes that he says accompany your new identity. Number one is compassion. The opposite of compassion is insensitivity, callousness, I don't care. Suffering can happen around me and it doesn't matter. As long as it's not my suffering, I don't care about it. Now that you're a believer and chosen of God, you need to start caring about other people's suffering. He says, put on a heart of compassion. Listen, before you didn't care. But now, because you're holy, selected, a child of the living God, you have to start caring. Now, other people's suffering is your suffering. Before, you looked at someone that, a homeless person on the street, and you'd pass by and they'd put out your hand. You'd say, get a job, you lazy scumbag. But now, God begins to change your heart of compassion. And when you see someone like that, you say, yeah, maybe they need to get a job, but maybe I need to have a bit of heart of compassion for their suffering and where they're at, however they got there.
And we'll get to those five attitudes in more depth next time on the next Bold Steps. But that wraps up another week of authentic and fresh Bible teaching from Mark Job. Now, if you'd like to hear today's message again, or if you missed any of the previous messages in this series, you can listen online at boldstepsradio.org. You can also hear this program on your mobile device by downloading the Moody Radio app. And we're also on your Alexa. Just say, Alexa, play Bold Steps from Moody Radio. And then listen whenever and wherever it's convenient for you. While you're online and have some free time this weekend, be sure to check out our latest Bold Step gift I mentioned earlier. It's called The Road Trip That Changed the World. And we'd love to send you a copy when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. But you can't delay. Today is your last day to request your copy of this engaging book by Mark Sayers. Visit boldstepsradio.org or call 844-615-7363. 844-615-7363. And before Monday rolls around, be sure to sign up for our Bold Stepper Weekly. The start of the work week can be tough on us all, but it doesn't have to be. Be inspired with an encouraging word from Mark Jobe that's delivered to your inbox automatically each Monday morning. Get to stepping in your walk with Christ today and sign up at boldstepsradio.org. And Wayne Shepherd wishing you a wonderful weekend. Be sure to join us Monday when Mark continues our message called This is the New Me. This message is brand new and you can hear it right here Monday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.